Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, and your phone calls today on New Life. Glad you're with us. It's a great day for New Life. We think so. Hope you do too.
Thank you very much. You guys are quite entertaining and interesting and helpful.
You have a great ministry. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yeah, that does help.
That did not sound convincing.
Okay.
Yeah. Captain Obvious here. Okay. Thank you. All right.
And are they big enablers or are they concerned?
Oh, terrible. His mom still pays for everything and he's 38 years old.
Excuse me?
His mother still pays for everything and he's 38 years old.
That's what I thought you said.
Well, I think he can heal every sick person who wants healing.
Right. But sometimes he just doesn't.
Sometimes he does it through dying.
Right.
Hey, everybody, welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. Hey, John.
Hey, Stevie.
And Dr. Dave Stoop.
How you do?
Doing well. And, you know, as we're approaching Thanksgiving, I want to give a thankfulness thought here to start off our day. It's from H.U. Westermeyer, whoever he was. Anyway, he said this. The pilgrims made 7 times more graves than huts. No Americans have been more impoverished than these who, nevertheless, set aside a day of Thanksgiving. It's a great, great perspective.
There's some perspective there.
Mm. More graves than huts. And from what I understand, it was miserable. It was absolutely miserable, and they persevered, and let's be thankful that they did. And we have a country, one nation under God, still to this day, and let's give thanks for that. We're thankful for you, thankful that you tuned in, and the last time that Dave and John and I were together was on Tuesday. I did not mention one time our finances. And so I just have to make up.
So we're going to make this the whole show about it.
No, but I did want to start by asking people to be sure if you are going to support us, if there's any way that you have been thinking about giving to this ministry and a year-end gift, please do. And call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and become part of the giving family. Join Club New Life. $30 a month. It's just a great way to provide that foundation of giving to us. So please help us if you possibly can. And, you know, if you join Club New Life, we'll send you that Life Recovery Bible. Over 2 million of those Bibles out there, and we want you to be part of that. We're going to go right to the calls right off the bat here. We're going to start with Rose from Los Angeles, California. KKLA is the station. Hi, Rose.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. How about you?
Good. I have a dilemma here. My husband and I have been married for 5.5 years. We've been separated for 1.5 years. Hmm. I filed legal separation because he was out of the home back in December. Uh-huh. And we're thinking about reconnecting and putting our marriage back together. Where do I start? Is my question.
Well, why did you separate? That's where we might start.
Our values were very different. He likes to support all his family, whether it's right or wrong. And I got to the point where I just couldn't do it anymore. I know it was wrong, and it was not in my godly beliefs to keep doing it. I feel like he's enabling them instead of helping them.
It's really a loyalty issue, isn't it? He's more loyal to the family than to you?
I felt like that a big part of it in the beginning, yes.
Mm-hmm. Rose, is that the only thing?
No, and throughout the marriage, we've got a lot of other issues. As time went by, I held that as a resentment.
Well, we're going to go to a break now, but let me give you the overarching principle, Rose, is you come back together when both people have changed to the extent that their changes are going to increase the love they have for each other. Two people need to change. Mm. We'll talk about it.
All right. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right. We're back. We're talking with Rose, and how do you start that marriage over? Yeah. John, you made a great point there about the...
Yeah. Yeah. Rose, whenever anybody is considering... You know, we've been apart, we've been alienated, but I love the person, I want to make it work. The idea that I miss you is never enough to get back. We have too many people that get back with a spendaholic or a drug addict or somebody's unfaithful. And just because I would like you in my life, may not have been there have been any kind of character change or transformation at all. So what you guys got to do is talk about what has to change, because you're using the you can use the separation in a very good and structured way, where he comes to terms with the spending or the priority problem and the other things that cause you resentments, and you sit down and say, I can live with somebody who's not perfect, and I'm not perfect. It's not these things that were kind of these minor things, but the major things that are unlivable, they need to be resolved before we get back together. So there's your starting point. Does that make any sense?
Right, because we also try the retreats, the marriage encounters, the counseling and things like that. I think in the time that we've been separated for a year and a half, a lot of trust is gone, communication and respect, so it's hard to get all those things back. So
if you had a piece of paper, I'm getting very, very practical here with you. If you had a piece of paper and you said to him, Sam, I need to know that you're not going to spend more than an agreed upon amount on the family, and I need to know these things that I've presented have changed, would you be able to articulate and say those on a piece of paper?
Mm-hmm. Could you write them out?
Sure.
Okay.
And then have him write his couple things out.
It's not how much we communicate or don't communicate. It's did we resolve the issues that brought us apart in the first place? You've got to return to why you separated. All the communication skills in the world are just going to be cotton candy on top of a big mess unless mm-hmm. you solve those problems. Does that make any sense?
Right.
See, those need to be renegotiated, Rose, because mm-hmm. if you don't negotiate them, you're going to go back and everything's going to be the same. That's the tendency anyway, is that you can have great intentions and within a month or so everything's back to what it was before you separated. Unless you can negotiate these, and that's where you may need a pastor or a counselor to help you clarify when you can't negotiate them, if you're stuck on it to get beyond that.
When regret is the foundation of your decisions, usually the result is more regret. Mm. And we just don't want that for you.
Okay.
All right. So you need to get some...
Agree to disagree, to go to a pastor perhaps or something like that.
You need a third party to help you negotiate.
Yeah, you need somebody objective.
Because compromise is going to be a part of it. You know, it's how you give a little, he gives a little in certain things, and you come up with a solution that's not 100% for either one of you, but it's like 75-75.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'm really glad that you did call. And let me send you Walking Into Walls. Gets you through some of that stuff. Could really help you see some things in him that maybe he isn't showing or isn't working through. I want to go to Sarah from Boston, Massachusetts. Watches on NRB Network. Hello, Sarah. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Great. How could we help today?
I'm calling because I've been struggling a lot with guilt. I have battled in the past, you know, battled with anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
But I start feeling a lot of guilt, you know, with God, and it's been hard to receive like His word or to pray, and I'm just trying to find a way to overcome this because it like leaks into different areas of my life little by little, and I'm like, is this legalism or is this just what I'm feeling, you know, or is it just this guilt, you know, that I need to get rid of, you know?
Sarah, what do the voices tell you?
Like sometimes, like if I socialize on a social network or something, I'll feel like, you know, that's not what God wants me to do because I'm single. I've been praying for the right person in my life, and but sometimes, you know, I'll hear a song or.
Well, hold it. Let's take that example. You are single and would like to get married, mm-hmm. and so you do what singles do, which is they get on social networks so they can find suitable people. But mm-hmm. then your brain says you're doing something bad.
Yeah.
And what would that be that's bad about that?
Just opening a door to meeting the wrong person, and sometimes it's even people from my own church, you know, and.
So is it tend to be anything that you tend to do that involves risk?
No, not really.
Because anytime you connect with anybody at any level from anywhere, you're opening yourself up.
Connecting. People that feel guilty, Sarah, it tends to fall in several categories. Either it's because when I take a risk, I feel guilty, or when I do something good for myself, like self-care, and I don't know, get an extra ice cream or go on a vacation, I feel guilty. So self-care sometimes. And sometimes it's when I let other people down because I disappoint them, I feel guilty. Now, are any of those patterns with you?
With me, it's more like, is it like God telling me not to do this or He has another plan? Or is it, you know, I'm being
you're
guilty,
sure?
But then I feel isolated too.
You sure that's God telling you that, or is that your fear telling you that?
I do feel a lot of fear, mm-hmm. but I'm trying to just like figure out what it is, but it boggles me. Like I heard a song and then it brought guilt, and then I was like, oh my God, did I, you know, because I wanted to get on a social network, or did I, you know, violate God's law to the point that I feel like, you know, so guilty.
Okay. This is pretty common with people, and I'm going to give you two suggestions, okay? The first is I want you to go to the Bible when we get off the air, and I want you to read the first part of Galatians chapter 5.
Okay.
And Galatians chapter 5 says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Don't go back to a jail and a prison, mm-hmm. because your guilt is putting you in jail so that you don't have choices. It's sort of like, well, God said to eat pancakes today, so I better not eat oatmeal. Well, God said to, you know, wear my hair a certain way. God sometimes does that, but most of the time He doesn't, because He gives us a brain. But your brain is saying, God's got to tell me every decision. And so the Bible says, no, God wants you to be free. All right? So that's the first thing I want you to do. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Second thing I want you to do is I want you to get a friend, somebody in your Bible study or small group or whatever, but somebody that's safe and they're not crazy, they're nice and they're healthy. And I want you to write down a list of all the things you felt guilty for during the week, and I want you to have lunch with that person once a week for a couple of months and say, here's what I did. Did these sound like bad things? And your friend will go, no, I'm glad you did that. No, that's mm-hmm. not bad.
Right.
And they'll start to give you reality that God would agree with, unless it's really bad, like you don't go rob banks, but mm-hmm. because you spent money some way or you did a social network, and then your friend starts to change your mind inside, and you find out, like Dave said, it wasn't God talking at all most of the time. It was your guilty conscience. So learn about freedom and start checking out reality with this friend. Does that make sense?
It does, and I didn't add that, like, because when... In the past, I used to, like, call tap lines, and those were not good. They were,
right.
They got me in trouble. And I'm like, is it because of that fear, or is God protecting me from that?
Right.
But I don't want to do that.
I want
to have just healthy relationships.
You do, and that's how you do it. I'm going to send you a copy of How People Grow. It has a whole section about that.
All right, I'm glad that you called. And, you know, there are just so many people that are haunted and taunted, and they wonder, is this God? And so often, this is Satan just beating that person up.
You know, we get caught up in feelings of guilt, and we forget that guilt is a legal term. Either I'm guilty or I'm not guilty.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's not a feeling.
It's not a feeling. And if you know, that's where your suggestion of a friend to help her get some reality to it is going to be important, in that it shows her what really is real guilt and what's false guilt.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk with Angela, Lake Charles, Louisiana, XM Satellite Radio. Hello there.
Hi.
How can we help?
I'm having some problems struggling with anger and resentment, just mainly towards my husband.
Okay. So you're not generally angry at everybody. You're angry at your husband. And is that because he's just trying to get too close and connect too deeply?
No, he
I didn't think so. He avoids.
He avoids everything. Okay. There's nothing major, no major issues like addictions or in affairs, but we're both Christians involved in our church. But it's just if I'm upset or about something, or, you know, he'll know I'm upset, but he won't talk to me. He'll avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel, you know, I can just feel my anger rising.
Yeah.
And just I'll tell him how I feel. It's like, you know, I need you to talk with me about this. And he, you know, I was like, this is what makes me angry is when you do this. And he'll apologize and say, you know, he needs to open up more. But then it's the same thing happens, and then I just everything right. always comes back whenever that happens.
Well, I have to imagine that he is just a major, major disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, if he's avoidant and you're wanting to connect deeply, mm-hmm. got to be a major disappointment to you.
Yes.
It's got to be tough not to express that disappointment or feel it or let it stand in your way every day, because an avoidant person is going to be avoidant, and they're going to fall short.
Why is he avoidant? What do you know about his growing up years? Does he talk about that? Has he ever talked about that with you?
He does a little bit.
Is he like his dad, or is he like his mom?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
His dad passed away about a year after we were married.
Well, I would get him to talk about his growing up years, and get him to talk about his dad, and get him to talk about his mom, and how he related to them, or how he didn't relate with them, and just kind of get him reminiscing. That's something that an avoider isn't adverse to do, and being a recovered avoider, I know that you get somebody talking about something personal from their past that's not all bad, just whatever you remember, and reminiscing about it, they begin to open up and see what happens. But I would guess when you do that, you'll see some of the causes of his being like that, and that will mm-hmm. help you understand it so you don't get angry about it.
Mm-hmm. And I had actually called yesterday, but I called the wrong number, but I talked to someone, and they're sending me a book on anger and boundaries in marriage.
Good. Okay.
And How We Love. I think I ordered those three books.
Cool. Okay.
Good.
Way to go.
You got a good start.
Be a reader.
All right.
And then talk to them about what you're reading. especially in how we are. Talk to your husband about what you're reading, and just and don't expect much of a response. Just, you know, try and catch his interest, and if he gets interested, he can talk.
Yeah, you know, the avoider causes a problem by avoiding, but then the anger at the avoider can produce an even bigger problem.
More avoidance.
It just shuts him down. Yeah.
So it runs him off. So it's important that.
I found that a vulnerability helps the avoider.
Totally. Absolutely. As an avoider,
when the other person is vulnerable.
In other words, the wife that goes, connect with me now, you know,
no.
He's going to go into a cave. But when she goes, I feel like I'm a little girl in a chair sitting in the corner of a dark house, and I love this man, and his back is to me, and he's on the web, or he's watching TV, or he's not looking at me, and I'm so lonely, and all I want is for him to talk to me. There aren't a lot of men that would not say, I want to be with you.
You got to be in prison.
You got to be in prison.
Back away from
it.
That,
helps to cure the avoidance, to hit the vulnerability.
The other way to say really it is, are you as lonely as I am in our marriage?
There you
avoidance
go.
Avoidance need relationship.
But the anger strategy or approach.
Counterproductive.
Doesn't work. All right. Glad she called. I'm going to send her copy of How We Love from Milan and Kay. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My good friend Steve Arterburn and I agree on a lot of things, and one of them is the importance of a good marriage. Steve and the crew at New Life are on a campaign to strengthen marriages, to renew, refresh, and restore them to be what God intended for them to be, and I am 110% behind their efforts. That's why I want to encourage you to consider attending New Life's Marriage Weekend. Whether your marriage just needs a little refreshing or you're on the verge of a divorce, this weekend can be exactly what you need. You don't want to miss it. There's no other conference like it. Call the good people at New Life at 800-NEW-LIFE. That's 800-639-5433. And talk to them about the upcoming New Life Marriage Weekend. Or check it out at newlife.com. Don't wait another minute. Do it now.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hey, we are back. We're glad that you're with us today. And there's an Every Man's Battle workshop coming up in Southern California on December the 7th. And if you're struggling with sexual integrity, I was at the workshop last weekend. A man came up to me, Mississippi, showed me a picture of one of the most beautiful families I've ever seen. I just couldn't get over it. He started crying. He said, thank you, because this is going to save us. And it was just about done. I love that. You know, don't wait till it's too late. You know, it's just, there's a reason it's called Every Man's Battle. Get some help. Don't let the shame, the guilt, whatever it is, prevent you from getting the help. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Let's talk with Emily from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, WBYN. That's the station. Hello, Emily. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling and thinking that we might have something half decent to say about your particular situation.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
I hope so. Okay, what is it?
Okay, here's the situation. I have a 16-year-old son who has been really interested in marijuana, and he's researched a lot on the internet and tells me and my husband that it's not addicting, and he doesn't understand why we're so against it. We explain to him why we're against it,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it alters your brain, it changes things, it's illegal.
How much
you know,
is he paying? How much is he paying for it to use it?
Well, he's actually, just a couple of times he's done it, every time that he's used it, it was
$40.
$40. Ooh. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice question,
well,
Steve.
He's obviously researching the bias websites. So you
Absolutely.
Ought to research. So you need to research the opposite websites, like the Center for Disease Control and the American Society of Addiction Medicine, and get the facts, because marijuana today is highly addictive. It's far more addictive than it was 20, 30 years ago, and it's just more refined stuff.
Well,
so he's got a slant that isn't accurate.
That's right. And another factual answer is not the total answer, but the fact is that it is legal in those states, but not for 16-year-olds. And there is a tremendous amount of research about the effects of drugs on young brains. And that's why nobody's encouraging anybody at age 10 to go out and drink or smoke marijuana, even though it's legal at 21. So you gotta help him see, look, no matter what, this isn't the time for you.
Yeah.
Right now. You can make this decision later. John, what do you think?
Yeah, Emily, anytime we talk to a 16-year-old, we have to look at what the standard of authority is. Now, sometimes the standard of authority is the Bible if they're a believer. Sometimes it's research if they're not a believer, if they don't like the Bible. Sometimes it's common sense. So what is your son's standard of authority?
Well, that's a good question. My husband and I are definitely believers, and my son was attending church with us up to a couple of years ago, and now he's to the point where he just doesn't want to be bothered with it.
Hold it.
Hold it. His freedom.
Emily, he lives
yes.
with you, and you're not making him go to church?
No, we haven't,
yeah.
no, because
yeah.
I didn't want to force him into
Force him to go to church.
Correct.
No, I'm no. telling you to change your ways.
Okay.
Force him to go to the high school group.
Make him go to the high school group. Kids go through this period, and it's not, you know, and when parents say, gosh, I don't want them to like not like church, and then kids just chill out and skateboard and get on the web, and they have a grand old time, instead of going to the high school group, which you forced him to go to, like you force him to go to school, like you force him to go to the athletics, like you force him to clean up his room, and then they get engaged with the music, or they like another kid there, or they like the pie in the face skit. But make your kids go to church.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't sure, because I've always wanted to go to church, and my husband, I think, has...
If my parents hadn't made me want to go, I don't know where I'd be in life. You make him go. All right. But to your original question, you got to, if he's not into God and church, then we're not going to bring out like Ephesians to be not drunk with wine, because that doesn't mean anything to him. And you could go back and forth on the research all day, and I think you're right, but he'll find some other crazy website. So beyond having these interminable arguments about, well, this guy said this and this guy says this, you know what I think it has to come down to is we're your parents. And so we've done our diligence, and we studied, and we gave you our arguments, and we like you, and you're a great kid, and you did your research. But in our home, in our four walls, we are a drug-free house. Period. End. Stop. Now, what do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's wonderful. And my husband and I have basically told him that, you know, because, of course, he tells us.
Okay, then given that, what's your question for us?
Well, I just wanted to know what I can do to combat his research to be able to show
you know,
him that
the,
he is
you get
not
educated.
One of the Emily, down. One of the worst things in life, I think, is to set as a goal making a teenager think that you're right. Mm-hmm. I think it's a miserable way to go through life. Yeah. Our teenagers, you know, as soon as we have to say we've had the talk, we're the bosses. We don't do it, and there's going to be consequences if you do. Now let's watch TV and have a great night.
Hey,
and,
isn't prostitution legal in Nevada?
Where's this one going here?
Well,
I love it?
It
when Steve's brain does this.
Well, I mean, there's stuff that we just don't approve of that are legal.
We're the bosses.
After this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. All right. Glad you're with us here today on New Life.
Hey, Marilyn's on line 4, and she's waiting for us, Steve.
All right, I'm going to talk to Marilyn right after this. First, I'm going to just mention, hold on a second here. I got to get that off there. I'm going to mention.
What are you doing over there, Steve?
I'm just working with my computer, trying to keep it quiet. All right. 12 Gifts of Christmas coming up. We're partnering with them. Anita Renfro was on this week. We've got Stephen Curtis Chapman, his wife Mary Beth, Lucy Swindoll, Marilyn Meeberg, Patsy Claremont, Lisa Welchel. You can see her. She's still surviving on Survivor. All of it's great evening, magician, comedian, music, worship, great messages of truth. Bring the family. You can find out about it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com, and on the 11th of December, 7:30, in a theater near you, 600 theaters across the country, hope that you can make it. It really is going to be a special time, and we want to support things like this because, well, the more we support like this, the more people do them. Let's go to Maryland from Leonardtown, well, Maryland, on WAVA. Hello, Maryland, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing pretty well.
Great.
How
can we help?
Lady. I'm 74.
Oh, okay.
Well, welcome.
I've been listening to you for a long time.
Thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. How could we help you today?
I guess one of my basic problems is I've discovered through Christian counseling that I'm very codependent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also still very much an overspender, and now I'm retired and living on my own because my third husband died 2 years ago.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
In a retirement facility in Leonardtown. I stayed in a third marriage, no kiss, no hug relationship for 31 years for security of his two houses. He was 9.5 years older. He died May 21st, 2010, and I'm trying to change my codependent ways and my overspending, the overspending, because I'm not going to be able to afford my rent if I don't change that.
Yeah.
And I moved 100 miles away from the best counselor I had for 20 years after meeting him in a psychiatric hospital. Two times.
Okay.
So I have all those main issues. What would you like to know?
Well, tell us your question.
Yeah, how does the codependency affect you today?
Is that a question?
I'm afraid that I know that I still make codependent decisions.
Like what? And, Give us an example. Give us an example, Marilyn.
Well, I'm a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. Everything I do is based on the approval of other people. It has been all my life, and it still is, in spite of counseling. I'm an overspender, which I've got to change somehow. And now I don't have a Christian counselor that I can see because he's 100 miles away.
Well, we'll find you one where you are when we before you go off the line. But part of it is, I'm not sure how your overspending connects to the codependency part. In that, it's like you're doing it. You're buying things for other people.
Myself, both.
Well,
and
it sounds like to me, Marilyn, it sounds like to me that you're kind of dependent on other people, and that when you're buying something, while you're buying it, you are the most important person in the salesperson's life. And they're giving you attention, and it makes you feel good. I just wonder if that's the connection to codependency there.
I think maybe it is.
And in all of these things, it seems to me your best long-term assistance is going to be to get into a recovery group.
I did try that a number of years ago. It didn't seem to make any difference for me.
Well,
but maybe I didn't stay
there's
long
one
enough.
Thing. It's one thing to show up at the group. It's another thing to say I'm going to work the steps out of that group.
Yeah, right.
So. That's what I would. I would get into a codependency group. I'd start going to Al-Anon.
Yeah, Marilyn, what were you hospitalized for? I want to get a little bit of history.
What was that? Depression that I developed after meeting my third husband, and we got married subsequently in the following couple of years. He blamed all my depression on the fact that I had become a Christian, which he never became one. And wanted me to go to secular counseling, which I never did.
All right. Marilyn, let me ask you a question.
I love the Lord.
Hold it.
I
got it.
I was 40 when I came to the Lord.
Hey, Marilyn.
Good for you.
Hey, Marilyn. How good are you at asking for love and support from people?
Not too good.
I didn't think so. When people say, I found out that I spend too much, and I agree with Dave and Steve, it's probably some way to self-medicate loneliness. And when they take care of people and people please too much, which is the classic codependency, one of the first things you have to do is to look at how well a person is asking for love and support from other people. Because one of the most important things, one of the most important dynamics in codependency is I give people what I wish they would give me.
Yeah.
Meaning, since
and I don't get it from my grown daughter,
I don't doubt that a minute.
Now,
Marilyn, hold on a second. Let me talk a bit.
Go ahead.
And so what we have to do is realize I'm afraid to ask, or I feel embarrassed, or I don't like that needy feeling inside, or I don't want to be a trouble or a high maintenance to people. So I'll give and give and give and take care. Oh, and by the way, spend a little bit too much on my own self from QVC or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I never have to take that risk of asking for love and support. So here's the prescription. You have to do what our Bible tells us to do in the book of James. It says, if you do not have, you do not have because you do not ask. And you've got to find some safe people, We're going to look for a counselor for you, but you also need a support group where you can start to say things like, I'd like somebody to listen to me. I'd like to be able to unpack about my day. I'd like to talk about the celebrations of my day. I'd like to talk about what scared me or made me hurt or made me feel lonely. And you begin asking for those things that you're giving, and that will begin to solve the problem.
I think I see what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wrote a book called Loving People, and I'm going to send it to you because it has to do with the fact that if we're going to give love, there's just a physics to this. You got to get it, too. You can't pour out in other people what you don't have. And codependents are giving it all day, and they have an empty tank. We don't want you to have that, so we'll send it to you, okay?
Okay, coming your way. So glad you called us. Let's go to Stephanie, Sherman, Texas. KWRD is the station. Stephanie, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call.
What's the big deal with you today?
My biggest deal, right this second, I've been going through it for a very long time, but it's recently gotten worse, and I've been to counseling, and it's not helping. I recently got married a couple months ago. We have a newborn. She's 4 months old. And then I have two boys from a past marriage, and I am up to 270 pounds, and I'm dealing with feelings of absolute inadequacy.
Absolute inadequacy.
It's been ongoing, and it's getting worse.
Okay. So, what have you done to lose the weight?
I've tried everything, but I can't stick with anything for very long. It's like I'm feeding some kind of pain, but I can't find where the pain's coming from.
Okay, have you tried Weight Watchers?
I've tried Weight Watchers before in the past.
Okay.
And then I'm dealing with a budget of a hot dog budget. I mean,
yeah.
Like Roman noodles and stuff.
Yeah. Have you tried going to a 12-step group that would help with weight?
I'm going to an addiction group because I feel mine's an addiction to food. So
okay.
I've been going there.
Good.
And the counselor really didn't help. But then I have this problem where, like, when we watch TV, I absolutely bawl over any hot woman that comes across the TV. I mean, like,
The inadequacy feeling comes in then.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm like, I'm afraid that he might lust after someone because he might desire something that looks better than me. And I hear about this porn stuff all the time from you guys, and I don't understand how a man can lust after all these women and my husband can still find me attractive.
Well, look, there are a lot of reasons for you to lose the weight. And a big one is you have a baby that needs to have a mother around a long time, you know? So there are a lot of reasons, and you can feel good at 270 pounds. You can feel better about yourself at 270, but I'd really like to see you lose the weight. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So... when we come back, let me just ask you some questions about some things you're doing that might kind of get you on the road a little bit, and then you can work with some of those other issues that you're dealing with, like that sense of inadequacy, and Dave and John can help you try to get to the root of that a little bit. All right? Okay, so we'll take a break. We'll come right back. You're listening to New Life Live. By the way, if you have a drug or an alcohol problem or somebody in your family is struggling, we have Christian treatment program that we want you to come be part of, or them to be part of. It could change it all. You find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I think that's why I do it, because there's just so much out there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Hey, Stephanie?
Yes.
All right. Quick question. Well, when you talk to your husband about stuff, what does he tell you about pornography and other women that are beautiful and your weight? What does he say?
He says he thinks I'm beautiful and that he's a grown man now and he knows what he wants, and he wants, you know, he wants the family life, and he doesn't care about the stuff that's on TV, that I'm who he wants.
Right. Okay. So that's assuring, but it's not enough for you, is it?
No, because I know he's still a man.
Okay. Now, are you doing any kind of exercise at all?
No.
Okay. So
I did start a weight loss support group, but I'm like 1 week into it now.
All right. Stephanie, you may find it difficult to exercise other than sitting in a chair. And if that's true, then you know, there are, and we have them on our website. Michelle Spatafore has got some CDs that will lead you, DVDs to lead you through exercise. But you're going to have to start exercising if you're going to finally fix this problem, okay?
But I would want to fix the problem that's inside my head, too.
Yeah, but you're going to have to do some stuff to get your body moving and mm-hmm. get some progress, and that's going to motivate your head to try to work some of those things out.
Yeah, Michelle, Stephanie, it's always, whenever God takes us through a structure of help, it always involves more than one thing.
Yeah.
Now, it'd be like saying, well, you need, you know, antibiotics, you need supplements, and you need minerals. Well, you need to know what's going on in your head, so you need to have a good counselor. If you don't have a good counselor, we can help you. You need to have a good support system with people that love you and that'll say, cheer you on and check in with you and go to meetings with you. You need to have a structure, like a 12-step structure, like a Weight Watcher structure that helps you have power and sobriety. And you also need to have the exercise piece. So look at it like this is a bunch of things in a system for Stephanie, and do it. But it's not just the stuff in your head. It's going to be everything else, too.
See, you got to get your body moving, and that's going to produce an effect that's going to motivate you to work harder at resolving things inside. It's going to help you make better choices. But I don't know of anybody that loses weight that keeps it off and gets healthy that doesn't exercise. So I would start there as my number one line of resistance. And if you've got to get somebody as a friend that comes over to the house that's going to be there at a certain time, and so that forces you to get up out of bed and be there with them. I'm not talking about a big bunch of excessive exercise. I'm saying just start with something more than you're doing right now, and that could really lead you. And then the other thing is to, since you're there at the house so much, when you go shopping, you start to substitute some things that are very, very high calorie, high saturated fat with some better substitutes for you and for your family. Now, if you start doing a couple of little things like that, and I'm going to send you Lose It for Life. I think that'll give you a lot of really good stuff in there to do. If you start doing some things like that, then the recovery program you're working is going to make some sense. But see, it doesn't make any sense to be 270 pounds, buy everything that makes you feel better. Stephanie, you're addicted to comfort, and food is the way that you're getting it. And you're going to have to get some help from a counselor in your recovery group to deal with a lack of comfort, to be comfortable, essentially, with discomfort so you don't have to result in food every time.
Stephanie, I hear pain in your voice.
I hurt bad.
Yeah.
It's killing me. My whole life is... I'm losing my marriage. We've been married for 2 months because I don't feel adequate. I feel like he's going to fall in love with someone else.
Mm.
And I don't think he'd ever cheat me, but I just can't handle this.
Well, here's the thing. If you're that depressed, you could be so depressed that you find it impossible to motivate yourself to exercise, and that'd be a sign that maybe a little antidepressant medication.
But you know, the exercise helps depression too.
It sure does.
I take depression medicine, and I've tried a bunch of different ones. I take them, and it helps about 10%, but that's about it. Mm-hmm.
But Stephanie, if your motivation is out of the fear of losing your husband, that won't work. You have to do this for yourself. And your husband is there.
I want to know that I'm the only person he's going to lust after, and I know that God didn't design him that way.
You're worrying about the wrong things. You've got to take care of you, and he's there. You've been married 2 months. He made a choice when you were at that weight to marry you.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep reminding yourself of that. And because fear isn't going to make it. You're not going to make it with fear. You've got to do it because you are choosing to do it so that you'll be there as a mother for your kids.
Stephanie, can you hear my voice?
Yeah.
All right. We gave you a lot of information on this call. I want you to record it or capture it or go back to the website because there's a lot there, and you're very overwhelmed now, right?
Yeah.
And I want you to remember two things. Can you remember two things right now? The first thing is, for the short term, to get you through this, tell your husband, I'm always afraid I'm going to lose your love, and until I lose the weight, can I check in frequently to see if I've lost your love? Because I think you need reassurance on a regular basis from your husband while you're losing it. Did you hear my voice right then?
Yeah.
That's number one. Okay? That's number one of two things. I want to make it really clear because I know you're very overwhelmed. Number two is you get the tape and you start doing the system we talked about. All the things we said, counseling, prayer, small group, Weight Watchers, nutrition, you start doing all those things and having accountability buddies that make sure you go to your meetings and make sure that you're with people that love you and make sure you're getting support. And you get in that system. And that will help the long term. So I just gave you a short-term answer so you won't feel so inadequate, and a long-term answer for you to get well.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay.
I'm going to send you a book that I wrote called God Will Make a Way. It has a lot of the stuff in there, but you hang in there.
Hmm. Oh, Stephanie, I'm so glad you called. I wish you could get to one of our workshops because, and you know, we have scholarships available from time to time. You got to call us and let us at least work on it for you. Let me just read one of these. It says, I knew I had a problem, but no easy solution. I thought the answer was merely physical. I was rebellious and didn't want anyone telling me what I was doing wrong. This thing has been eye-opening and jaw-dropping at times. I've learned more and have been more open in 3 days than I have in 3 years of recovery. And I have a better sense of where the weight came from. This is not just a physical issue. I have the tools I need now to fight this battle in physical, emotional, and spiritual realms. I love that. It's what happens when people come. And, you know, I think the big issue is that willingness to pick up the phone and call and say, I need some help. And that's what I want you to do. If you're struggling, let us help you. If you've got a sexual addiction problem, a lust problem, an eating problem, drug, alcohol, depression, marriage, we've got an answer for you. We want to help you. We've got workshops. We've got counselors all over this country. We've got resources. All you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Go to newlife.com. And if you can support us, well, you're supporting people transforming their lives. All of us on this program right here, John, Dave, myself, we've been committed to people transforming their lives for years. And we want to see it happen, and it never happens until somebody says, okay, finally, I'm willing, and you pick up the phone. make that call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. Thank you, John. Thank you, Dave. Love you guys. Appreciate you so much and the wisdom that you have. And so glad that I get to share it with you. We'll see you next time. All of you, God bless you. Hope this is going to be a great, great holiday season. And you pray for us. We'll pray for you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.